Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki,
Mantra Srila Bhagavatama ki,
Giriraj Maharaja ki, Jai Go Premanande. Okay. So tonight we're continuing from verses 11 in chapter 17. So we're talking about the rest of the chapter, chapter 17. So we'll read through. So if anyone has any questions or comments as we go, please ask. What is chapter 17 called? Actually, I brought the
Supreme Lord agrees to become Aditya's son.
No, okay, that's good. I brought the wrong Bhagavatam, so I'm going to have to use one of your I don't have the right phone, so you have to bring me.
Yeah.
You guys have to share.
Yeah.
Okay, so chapter 17. And we're starting with verse 11.
Page
594. Very good. Okay. So we'll begin there, and we will continue. Okay. Shukadev Goswami said, O King Parikshit, best of the Bharat dynasty, when the lotus-eyed Lord, the supersoul of all living entities, was thus worshipped by Aditi, he replied as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Mother of the demigods, I have already understood your long-cherished desires for the welfare of your sons, who have been deprived of all opulences and driven from their residence by their enemies. Mahaprabhu, you want to read that?
Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being situated in everyone's heart, and especially in the hearts of his devotees, is always ready to help devotees in adversity. Since he knows everything, he knows how things are to be adjusted, and he does the needful to relieve the suffering of the devotees.
Very good.
So Prabhupada is saying, Bhaktivatsa, how Krishna is so love the devotee, that he may forget all their miseries and difficulties, especially if we have got strong faith in him. And the faith will come from association of devotee. And under devotee, all these things combined together can make us happy, and you can serve Krishna better.
Good. Any other points? Okay. So, as Mahaprabhu pointed out, Krishna is known as Bhakta Vatsala. So this is Krishna's greatest quality, in Bhakta Vatsala, which means he protects his devotees. The first time that we see Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam is where? When is the first time we see Krishna appear in the Bhagavatam? Which canto? First time. Which canto? Canto 1? Yeah, which chapter? Chapter 7? And how does Krishna appear? How do we see him the first time we see him? No, it's before that. He's Partha Sarathi. Chapter 7. So Arjuna is chasing after Ashwatthama. So that is the first time that we see Krishna. So we see Krishna as Partha Sarathi. First time we see Krishna, or Krishna during the whole Bhagavad Gita is Partha Sarathi. So Krishna, he is the servant of his devotees. He prefers to be the servant of his devotees. He likes to take the position of serving his devotees. So therefore he's known as Partha Sarathi. So the first time we see Krishna is displaying his supreme quality. Supreme quality is Bhakta Vatsala. So Bhaktivatsala means that he is the protector of the devotee. He has great affection for his devotee. So we see that Lord Krishna, whenever the devotee is going through some suffering, if Krishna desires, then he can relieve that suffering. If Krishna desires, your suffering will increase. If Krishna desires, your suffering can also be taken away. That is all Krishna's will. So the devotee sees, when the devotee is suffering, what does he think? He thinks this is Krishna's will. Nothing happens without the sanction of Krishna. So if the devotee is suffering, he thinks that Krishna is putting me in this position so that I can come closer to him. And if Krishna desires, then Krishna can relieve the suffering. He can take the suffering of the devotee away so the devotee can concentrate more easily on Krishna. So everything is up to Krishna, how he wants to deal. So we can never ask Krishna, we can never say, Krishna, take away my suffering. We can pray to Krishna, we can say, if you desire, take away my suffering. Because maybe it's Krishna's desire that you do suffer. So we have to be very careful what we are praying for. If we pray for the right thing, then we will attain Krishna. But if we're praying in the wrong way, then it will not be pleasing to Krishna. So the devotee is always thinking like that. Just let me surrender to Krishna, let me depend upon Krishna. And he is my protector, he is my maintainer, and if any suffering comes, that is his desire. Any points?
Also, a devotee always sees Premanjan Chulita Bhakti Vinodhina, Santata Devadi Vilogi and Yam Shyam Sundaram, Akshantirodham, Govindam, Hare Krishna. So, your devotee also sees Krishna everywhere, in everything, material, everything. So, this is a reciprocation between the personal quality of Krishna and you. This is called love. Real love. We love somebody, we can do anything for him. What keeps the devotee in very high position. So many times Krishna wants the devotees to get the credit. Like the Muchukunda story, you know. Krishna did not want to, so he wanted Muchukunda to get the credit.
Who is that?
Janesh Prabhu. He's getting Brahman.
Very well, Janesh. Okay. Any other points? Okay. So, O Devi, O Goddess, I can understand that you want to regain your sons and be together with them to worship me. After defeating the enemies in battle and retrieving your abode and opulences. So we have to understand from this pastime, as we discussed last night, that Aditi is not showing the symptoms of a pure devotee. Because a pure devotee is anyabhilashita shunyam. A pure devotee is free from material desire. In other words, we should not go to Krishna and ask for something material. We should always go to Krishna and we should only ask, how can I serve? That should be the desire. So whenever we approach the spiritual master, we approach the spiritual master in the mood that, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? So that is the mood of a devotee. And a pure devotee will only approach Krishna in that fashion, in that way. Whereas a mixed devotee, they will approach Krishna with the desire that I want to have something material. Please you fulfill that. So a deity, she is desiring that the sons become the leaders of the universe. So that is okay, because that is a good desire. Because if the demigods are in charge, then Dharma will manifest around the world, and it'll be easy for people to take to Krishna consciousness. So it's not a bad desire, but it's not pure devotional service. No, it's still based on the bodily concept of life. So whenever we ask for something, for ourselves, that is sense gratification. If we pray to Krishna, I want this, I want that, as soon as you say, I want, then that is sense gratification. A pure devotee, he approaches Krishna, if you desire, then arrange like this. But we should never petition the Lord that he must do something. Devotees should just be submissive and humble. And whatever Krishna arranges, then he accepts that. Any points?
Again, sense-gratification means we are asking for suffering. The more sense-gratification we want, we are asking for suffering indirectly. So we should be very careful, as you said. We should be pure in our desires as far as possible. If not completely, at least 99%.
At least be 99%. If you cannot be 100, at least be 99.
Mahaprabhu had a similar group. He wanted a kingdom better than his
father. So what are we?
Nothing.
We should at least be 99. Any other point? Okay. You want to see the wives of the demons lamenting for the death of their husbands when those demons, the enemies of your sons, are killed in battle by the demigods, of whom Indra is the chief. So this is the mood of a materialist. The materialist thinks of himself and he does not care so much for the suffering of others. That is material consciousness. That is false ego. So when we examine ourselves in this material world, what do we see? We see we are like that. We see in this material world that so often we think of ourselves, even in Krishna consciousness, even in our devotional service. But really it's about us. And we don't take so much notice of what other people are going through or how they are suffering. So that is material consciousness. A devotee does not think like that. A soft-hearted devotee, a pure devotee, he is always thinking of the welfare of others. He does not think of himself. But someone who is a mixed devotee, they're always thinking of themselves. They're more concerned with themselves. They're more absorbed in themselves. And therefore it's very difficult for them to surrender to Krishna. So we have to examine our consciousness and see. And if we see suffering, if we see other devotees are suffering, then we should serve them. That is the duty of every devotee. Whenever you see another devotee in distress, then you must try to relieve that distress. That is how you become dear to Krishna. Krishna says, if you say you're my devotee, you're not my devotee. But if you become the devotee of my devotee, then you can say that you are my devotee. So what is the greatest service? The greatest service is to look after Krishna's devotees. Make sure that they are safe and satisfied. Any points?
Best example is Srila Prabhupada. He would have lived in Vrindavan and gone to such a world. You know, he must spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world and relieve suffering of all everyone. So whosoever came in contact with Srila Prabhupada. I was reading that book, how Jamuna went to attend the marriage of her sister. New York, and how Prabhupada made her a pure devotee, Yamuna ji. Whosoever came in contact with Prabhupada has become a devotee, and mostly pure devotee.
Anything else?
The Vaishnava is a Paradukha Dukhi, even though he is satisfied and happy. But whatever he has got or received from God, he cannot feel something of others. So he takes all the pain to actually remove this.
Any other points? You want your sons to regain their lust, reputation, and opulence and live again on their heavenly planet as usual. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam. Bhoga Aishwarya. It bewilders the consciousness. So we have to be very careful of sense gratification and material opulence, because they distract one from devotional service. Too much sense gratification, too much material opulence, they weaken one's determination to go back to Krishna. So one has to be very careful. Prabhupada says that one has to be careful not to let the mood of sense gratification enter in the name of Krishna consciousness. So even sometimes as a devotee, you can say, well, I'm a devotee, I'm doing devotional service. But the mood of sense gratification has contaminated your devotional service. Just like you're cooking for the deities. In your home, you're cooking for your deities. But you like to cook so many opulent offerings. You say, well, I'm doing it for the deities. But actually, you're doing it for yourself. In the name of Krishna consciousness, sense gratification is entering. And you're meditating that I'm cooking this for my pleasure. That's not the pure devotional mood. The pure devotional mood is I'm cooking for Krishna's pleasure. And I will take the remnants. So it's a subtle difference. It's a subtle mood of sense gratification. So we have to analyze that consciousness continuously. Examine ourselves continuously. Be introspective continuously. And see that we are actually becoming fixed in Krishna consciousness, not always distracted, not always absorbed in sense gratification. Material opulence, Prabhupada says, not even a farthing, not even a cent should be used in sense gratification. All opulence is meant for Krishna's pleasure. So devotees should just live simple lives, comfortable, simple, middle class lives, and then they should offer the best things to Krishna. Not become distracted by Boga Aishwarya. Prasakta Nam. Any points?
We have to think that everything is given by Him.
Yeah.
So we must be thankful to Him.
Yeah.
Grateful, and then we should serve those things.
Yeah, so we have to see if devotees actually do that. Everyone says it, but do they do it?
Very true.
How much? How much? O Mother of the Demigods, in my opinion, almost all the chiefs of the demons are now unconquerable, for they are being protected by Brahmanas, whom the Supreme Lord always favors. Thus the use of power against them now will not at all be a source of happiness.
When a person is favored by Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, no one can defeat him. Even the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not interfere when one is protected by a Brahmana. It is said, Go Brahmana, Hitayacha. The Lord's first inclination is to give all benedictions to the cows and Brahmanas. Therefore, if Brahmana favors someone, the Lord does not interfere, nor can anyone interfere in the happiness of such person.
So what are the points?
You can also add that if the spiritual master is happy, then we get Krishna mercy. Yes, Prasada.
Any other points?
We noticed that in Mahabharata, Pandavas always were surrounded by Brahmanas, even when they are in exile in the forest.
They are still accompanied by Brahmana, not many, but few Brahmanas. And throughout the life, they always maintain Brahmana. That's good. Yeah, so, Go Brahmana, Hitayacha. How do we progress in spiritual life? We have to please our superiors. That is how we progress in spiritual life, when those who are above us are happy. So, the go means Gomata, means the cow. When she is happy, because she is the mother, she is superior to us. If she is satisfied, we become blessed by Krishna. Krishna is known as Go Brahmana Hitayacha, which means he protects the cows and the brahmanas, especially. Gold Seva and Brahminical culture. Krishna especially likes these things. He protects them. Now, Prabhupada says, out of the two, he's more inclined to the cows, even than the Brahmanas. So the highest seva, the highest benefit, is when we are looking after the cows very nicely. So at our farm now, we have new cows. They're being looked after nicely. And we're feeling there are great benefits from this activity. Krishna gives unlimited benefits. Now, secondly, is the Brahmanas. Brahmana means an advanced Vaishnava. Brahmana means one who has realized a Brahman. So most Brahmanas haven't realized Brahman. Theoretically they have, but not practically. So we see some devotees in our ISKCON community, they're Brahmanas. But only a few of them have realized Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. But still the position is there, Brahmana. So we have to respect those who are... Brahmana means one who is just absorbed in Brahman, spirit, spiritual activity. So the devotees who are absorbed in spiritual activity, we should take shelter of them. So you see, our spiritual masters, the sannyasis, the advanced Vaishnavas like Burujan Prabhu and others, that advanced devotees in our temple, who are fully absorbed in spiritual life, we should take shelter of them. Because by the blessings of our seniors, we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. If you don't become blessed by your superiors, you don't advance in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, it is the secret of success, satisfaction of the self-realized spiritual master. That is the secret of success in spiritual life. So as long as we are absorbed, and as long as we are fully surrendered to our superior devotees and pleasing them, then we advance in Krishna consciousness. But if you don't take shelter properly, then very difficult to advance. And if you make them displeased, your devotional life becomes extremely difficult. So therefore one must always please the senior devotees and senior personalities. Any points?
You just mentioned that Brahmanas are senior Vaishnavas, or advanced Vaishnavas.
Yeah.
I'm a bit confused or not able to reconcile. I was thinking that Vaishnavas are, far superior than Brahmanas.
Yeah, so we're talking about Brahman Vaishnavas. No, it means amongst the Vaishnavas, not all the Vaishnavas are Brahminical. You see, like Manigriva Prabhu, he's at the farm. So he's more like Vaisha. He looks after the cows and he works on their fields. More like he's a Vaishnava, but acting more like a Vaisha than a Brahmana.
Okay.
Right? So then, the managers in the temple, they're more like acting like Kshatriya, like managing and organizing and protecting. And then some devotees, they like to study and teach and preach, then they are like Brahmanas. But the most important thing is Vaishnava. Because if you're not a Vaishnava, even if you are a Brahmana, you don't... It is not such a high thing. But the Vaishnava is more important, because in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya teaches that to respect the Vaishnava is the highest thing. Because when they did the ceremony, then Advaita Acharya, he gave the first plate of prasad to Srila Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was not considered to be a Brahmana, he's not considered to be even a Hindu. He was like born from Muslim family, but Advaita Acharya said he was the highest Vaishnava, so he should be respected the most. So that is how we see. If someone is Vaishnava, that is the highest thing. And according to what their nature is, they will work in a particular way. But the Vaishnava is always superior to the Brahmana. These days in Kali Yuga, most people are just like Jati Gosai, which means just like family. Not really. They're not really Brahmanas, but they just say, oh, because the family. It's like the family business. They just run the temple like a business. They take the money. They take the money of the deity for business. That's not Brahminical. Brahminical means one must be teaching Jagya or teaching Shastra and living very simply as if on charity. Lila Maya is here. Who? Hi, Rahim. Any points?
Advaita Acharya says that feeding you, feeding others is equivalent to feeding 10 million dhammas.
Powerful.
Others have to say, why do you want to feed me? Like, I'm not even a Brahmana. Then Advaita Acharya says that, no, no. In fact, feeding you is equivalent to feeding 10 million dollars.
So calm. So any other points?
Can you say Vaishnava has the quality of Namrishi and Ye Bear? If it's real Vaishnava, you should have, as you said, as a example, Namrishi, the preacher in the holy name. And he was respectful of everyone. Even those who were meeting him in the marketplace, he was praying to Lord to save them rather than get punished. The two essential qualities in the tradition of Namrishi and Ye Bear.
Any other points? Okay. Yet because I have been satisfied by the activities of your vow, O goddess Aditi, I must find some means to favor you. Your worship of me never goes in vain, but certainly gives the desired result according to what one deserves. So Krishna is saying in the Gita, Ye yata mam prapachante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. As you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So according to how much we're surrendering to Krishna, that much he is reciprocating. Krishna will reciprocate with everyone completely, but we must surrender to him completely. So therefore the quality of bhakti is Sri Krishna Karshani, which means it attracts Krishna. So if one becomes advanced in one's devotion to Krishna, pure in one's devotion to Krishna, then Krishna becomes attracted. So that is the system. So she has taken a vow, Payobrata, to make the demigods attain the heavenly situation once again. So, as we discussed last week, one must take vows in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. It's called Sankalpa. Sankalpa means firm brata, firm determination. So when we take initiation, we take 5 vows. I will chant my rounds, 16 rounds every day. I will follow the 4 regulative principles. No meat, eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to take sankalpa, brata. So this is just the beginning level. But if you want to make more advancement, you have to take more brata. More vow. You have to become more determined to do more things for Krishna. And that's how you advance in Krishna consciousness. So it's because she had done tapasya to satisfy Krishna, Krishna became attracted and he benedicted her. So every devotee, he needs to increase one's determination to attract Krishna. But you must do so under guidance, because if you try to do too much too quickly, then you may fall back. So therefore the devotee is always taking guidance from the guru. He consults with his gurus. Is this okay that I do this? Is this okay? You should not take vows independently. But you should always do so under consultation. Any points? Okay. You have prayed to me and properly worshipped me by performing the great Payal Vrata ceremony for the sake of protecting your sons. Because of Kashyapa Muni's austerities, I shall agree to become your son and thus protect your other sons. So, because she has done it with such sincerity, she gets a great benediction that the Lord himself will appear. So she's a mixed devotee. She's a great devotee, but there's still some mixed motivation. There's not pure devotional service, not Amala Bhakti, not Shuddha Bhakti, not Kevala Bhakti, not Uttama Bhakti. There's not pure, but it is advanced because the Lord himself is attracted. Always thinking of me as being situated within your body, within the body of your husband, Kashyapa, go worship your husband who has been purified by his austerity. So once again, Vedic culture is based upon worshipping one's superiors. So one should worship one's husband. One should worship one's father. One should worship the mother in a Vedic sense. These days, you know, these people may not be so qualified, but previously, one would offer great respect. So that is the system. Vedic culture is based upon giving respect to one's superiors. Yeah? You can only advance in spiritual life when you give respect to your superiors. If you're not respectful, if you do not honor and serve properly, you cannot make advancement in Krishna consciousness. What is it? Yeah, it's true. Yeah. So on any path, if one does not respect the superiors properly, he cannot progress materially or spiritually. So in the Krishna consciousness movement, we always have to give respect to those who are superior to us. So who is superior to us? Someone who is older than us, we must respect. Like Mahaprabhu is older than us, so we have to offer respect and make sure he has a comfortable seat and he is well. Because he's older, so respect must be there. If you neglect, then you get reactions. So according to your vana, according to your ashrama, if someone's in the higher ashrama, if he's a sannyasi, you must respect anyone who's been in a superior ashrama or superior vana. If someone's like a brahminical devotee, then we should respect them. If someone is senior to us in age, we should respect them. If someone is superior to us in years in Krishna consciousness, we should respect them. You might be older, but they've been a devotee longer. So there has to be respect, which is given. And what is the most important item when it comes to respecting others? Right? It is their spiritual advancement. Right? Just like you see in the Bhagavatam itself, right? When you look in the inner sleeve, you see Shukadeva Goswami is sitting on the Vyasasan in front of his father and his guru. Right? Who is his father? Right? And who is the guru? Narada. Narada is the guru of Vyas. So the great, the Param Guru. Right? So his father's guru, his father, they're sitting there, but he is sitting on the Vyasasan. You would never sit on the Vyasasana in front of your father or your father's guru. But he is doing it. Why? Because they saw he is the most spiritually advanced, so therefore we will offer him the respect. So that is the system. So regardless of all the other qualities, if someone is very advanced, then you must offer them respect. Even if they're younger than you or they're like that. But if they're advanced, you must respect them. So this is how we advance in Krishna consciousness, by offering respect to superiors. Yeah, it's part of it. Part of it is like that. But the main reason is because he is the most advanced Vaishnava. Because there are 12 Mahajans. So Narada, Brahma, Shiva, Kumaras, Kapila, Manus, like that, all of those Mahajans. But of all of them, Shukadeva Goswami is the most advanced, because in Vrindavan he is the parrot of Srimati Radharani. So he's the most elevated. So out of everyone, he was the most qualified to speak the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, he was given the Vyasa. Any other points? O lady, even if someone inquires, you should not disclose this fact to anyone. That which is very confidential is successful if kept secret. So we should not publicize our realizations and spiritual advancement. A devotee should not publicly explain to others how advanced he is. One should always remain humble, and one should always externally cover one's realization. In other words, all of your realizations about Krishna, they should be kept within. You should not publicly say, oh, I know this, I know that. And when we're giving class, okay, we do like that, but we should not, you know, if one's a very advanced devotee, he doesn't publicly disclose these things. Right? Like Prabhupada would never tell anyone what his relationship was with Krishna. But Prabhupada knew his relationship with Krishna in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan, but he never said that. So we should not cheapen the process. It should be kept very secret.
I heard someone mention Prabhupada once he was saying Lord Chaitanya was in Tananda and Mark was playing. And he saw Japataka, Japataka come. And he said, do you see? And Maharaj said, no, I don't see. And then Prabhupada said, he sees, but he says he's not seeing.
I've never heard the pastime before, so.
Yeah,
I've never heard it before.
What is the pastime?
I'm not going to repeat it because I've never heard it before. I'd have to find out if it was there or not. Shukadev Goswami said, after speaking in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead disappeared from that very spot. Aditi, having received the extremely valuable benediction that the Lord would appear as her son, considered herself very successful, and with great devotion she approached her husband. So the Lord disappeared. The Lord only stays in the association of the most advanced devotees. But generally he would disappear. He will not stay with the devotees. If the Lord stays with you, that is a great benediction. Even the residents of Vrindavan, they can't be with Krishna all the time. And it's very difficult to always be with Krishna. So generally, you will see him, but then he will disappear. In this pastime we'll see coming up, he appears as Vamana. He is still there on that planet. Patalalog, I think it is. He's down lower, and he is still there. Vamana is still there. Oh no, so I think it's Swaga. I think he's the gatekeeper of Indra. So he is still there. But generally the Lord does not stay. You cannot get his association. It's hard to get the Lord's association. You have to become very serious in your Krishna consciousness. Any points?
So this is a doubt for mine.
Yes.
He goes to Bali Maharaj. He says the option.
Lord Pastor, he actually becomes a doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. But then some of them again, he becomes doorkeeper of Indra. I don't know when the translation of many times. We'll see as we study the canto. All those things will be answered for us. Being situated in a meditational trance, Kashyapa Muni, whose vision is never mistaken, could see that a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead had entered within him. So this is the same as when Krishna appeared. If you read the 10th canto, he appeared within the consciousness of Vasudeva. And then he was from Vasudev's heart, he entered the heart of Devaki. So here also the same. The Lord is not conceived like we are conceived. O King, it, as the wind promotes friction between two pieces of wood, and thus gives rise to fire, Kashyapa Muni, whose transcendental position was fully absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, transferred his potency into the womb of Aditi. So, Rohini, you want to read the first paragraph?
A first fire begins when two pieces of wood rub against one another, being agitated by the wind. Actually, however, fire belongs neither to the wood nor to the wind. It is always different from both. Similarly, here, it is to be understood that the union of Kashyapa Muni and Aditi was not like the sexual intercourse of ordinary human beings. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has nothing to do with the human secretions of sexual intercourse. He is always completely aloof from such material combinations.
So what are the points?
And what you said about the answer, the way all Lord is conceived is not materially what it is. The consciousness is very, very high and completely absorbed into the Lord himself. Lord comes from the consciousness.
Hmm. Anything else? Yeah. So, Krishna is completely independent. The beginning of the Bhagavatam says Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means independent, fully. So whenever Krishna appears, it is not based on karma. Whenever we appear, we take many bodies. Right? So whenever we appear in a different body, it is based upon our previous action, our karma. Whereas when Krishna appears, there is no karma involved. It is simply by his divine will. Atmaya yoga. In other words, Krishna's own internal potency in which he appears within this material world. Otherwise, Krishna will not appear like any ordinary person. He simply appears of his own free will, of his own accord. That is his spiritual position. Whereas everyone else in this material world, we are simply bound. But when Krishna enters the material world, it's just like a spider entering onto the web. The spider can just cross the web. But when the fly enters the web, then he becomes entangled. So all of us, we become entangled in this material world, but Krishna can enter in and out of the material world as he likes. But once we're in, we're stuck, like a fly within the spider's web. Any points? Yeah, it must be the same as here. Jagan Prabhu, you can read the second paragraph.
The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, I am equal towards all living entities. Nonetheless, to protect the devotees and kill the demons who were a disturbing element, the Lord entered the womb of Aditi. Therefore, this is a transcendental pastime of the Lord. This should not be misunderstood. One should not think that the Lord became a son of Aditi the way an ordinary child is born because of sexual intercourse between man and woman.
Good. So what are the points on this paragraph? Yeah, she's advanced devotee. Yeah, you can't become the mother of the demigods if you're ordinary. But still, she's not pure. Any other points?
Krishna is the supreme. No one can become a mother. I mean, he is the supreme personality. Therefore, only if he wills for his pastimes, someone can see him.
Yes, the Krishna is saying in the Gita that he favors the devotees. So that is natural, that you will favor your children. So many children are there, but your children, you have special affection for. So Krishna is the same. Now for the devotees, he has special affection. Samoham Sarvabhuta. I'm equal to everyone. But for my devotee, I have special affection. I will take care of him. I will oversee him continuously. Everything that happens in our lives is being overseen by Krishna. So if Krishna wants to protect us, right, everything will be auspicious. If Krishna wants us to suffer, then that is for our purification. Either way, with happiness or distress, victory or defeat, loss or gain, if we remember Krishna, we become closer to him. And we should always understand, even though it's difficult, but we should always understand everything is simply Krishna's arrangement to bring us closer to him.
Can't you really say that we are suffering because of Krishna? I think we are suffering because of our own past reactions.
Yeah, but for a devotee, Krishna uses the reactions in order to purify the devotee. So Krishna takes control. Even though it was your past karma, but then Krishna is controlling it, so he may modify it, make it more or less, or change it so you get special realizations. Devotees are under the internal energy, not the external energy. Any other points? So read the third paragraph. Go Mandala Prabhu, can you read the third?
Here it may also be appropriate to explain, in these days of controversy, the origin of life. The life force of the living entity, the soul, is different from the ovum and the semen of the human being. Although the conditioned soul has nothing to do with the reproductive cells of man and woman, it is placed into the proper situation because of its work, Brahmana Devanetrena. Life is not, however, a product of two secretions, but is independent of all material elements. As fully described in Bhagavad Gita, the living entity is not subject to any material reaction. It is neither be burned by fire, cut by sharp weapons, moistened by water, nor tried by the air. It is completely different from the physical elements, but by superior arrangement is put into this material element. He is always aloof from the material contact, asamgogi, ayam purusha. But because he is placed in a material condition, he suffers the reaction of his of the material modes of nature. Purusha prakritikto bhunti vitandra karanam galasangasita sat asat yoni janmashu. The living entity and material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus he meets with good and evil among various species. Although the living entity is aloof from the material element, he is put under the material condition, and thus he must suffer the reactions of the material activity.
Anything else?
The soul is completely different from the any material element, but due to his association with the material modes, he has to suffer.
So Prabhupada explained to us that life comes from life. So he's explaining here in the purport that it is not coming from material reactions. That unless the soul enters into the womb of the mother, when the semen and the egg, the ovum, when they unite, then that is when the birth is taking place. But it is only when the soul enters that we understand there is life. So Prabhupada is explaining this, that even when the mother and father, when they unite, there has to be spiritual spark in order for life to manifest. So in the same way, because the Lord is manifest, then he will appear within this material world. So everything is due to the previous karma generally, but in this case, the Lord is appearing from his divine will. He's not forced to appear. He is simply coming out of spiritual desire to protect his devotees. Paritranaya sadhana, to fulfill his promise in the Bhagavad Gita. Any points?
one lecture, Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj was asking a question by a lady. She was asking, who is suffering, whether the soul is suffering or the body is suffering? He was saying, neither of them is suffering. The soul moves, to the extent you identify it with your body, to the extent you suffer.
Yeah. Any other points?
The modes of material nature are so difficult to get over. That's why we are suffering. We are caught in the modes. If we are free of the three modes, then we can see Krishna face to face. I am seeing you.
So what causes us to be in the modes?
Hmm?
What causes us to be in the modes of nature?
Our previous karma.
Yeah, or in other words, it's our desire.
Desire.
Because you don't want to go back to Krishna. If you want to stay here, Krishna lets you stay here.
That's holding.
Yeah, you're attached. You're attached to the material world. One time the guru, he walked outside the ashram, and he was speaking to the disciple, and the disciple was saying to the guru, it is too difficult to let go of Maya. And the guru said, you are not sincere. And the disciple says, no, it is too difficult to let go of Maya. And the guru said, no, it is not too difficult, you are not sincere. So the next day, when the disciple came out of the ashram, the guru was holding onto a tree.
Yeah.
And the disciple said, Guru Maharaj, what are you doing? And he said, the tree will not let go of me. He said, no, Guru Maharaj, just let go of the tree. He said, no, the tree will not let go of me. So in other words, we will not let go. That's why we are stuck in the material world, because we will not let go. But when we let go, then we can go back to Krishna. Any other points? When Lord Brahma understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was now within the womb of Aditi, he began to offer prayers to the Lord by reciting transcendental names. Mahamapu, you want to read?
Now I can see you much better.
Yes.
The operation is so successful.
Yeah.
I don't need you guys for driving or anything. But for reading, I have.
Yeah, sure. That's good. Please wear your glasses.
Definitely. The Supreme Personality of Godhead exists everywhere. Ananta Vastra Pramanu Chantosam. Therefore, when one chants his transcendental names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Ram, Ram, Hare Hare.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead is automatically pleased by Sankirtan. It is not that the Supreme Personality is absent. He is present there. And when a devotee utters the transcendental name, it is not a material sound. Therefore, Supreme Personality of Godhead is naturally pleased. A devotee knows that the Lord is present everywhere and that one can please Him simply by chanting His name.
Any further points?
Nama The moment you actually take Lord's name, it is non different from the Lord. His name, his form, qualities. So,
Here Prabhupada is emphasizing on chanting. I heard from you in lectures sometime back that Prabhupada used to say, you were saying that Krishna will dance when you chant. So you'll get a nice feeling and spiritual feeling and start.
Very
nicely. Yeah, Prabhupada said, do not forget Radha and Krishna. When you're chanting Hare Krishna, Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. Do you ever think like that when you're chanting your 16 realms?
No.
So then what are you doing? Prabhupada said, do not forget. Radha and Krishna are dancing on your tongue. So the point is that Krishna and his name are Abhinitwan, Nama Nama. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. So whenever Krishna, when the holy name is chanted, Krishna is manifest. So in the same way, then from Kashyapa's heart to Aditi's heart, the Lord is manifest, personally. And just by hearing this pastime and chanting this pastime, reading the Bhagavatam or chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Lord manifests. So you can get all the benefit of the Lord's association just by studying the Bhagavatam or by chanting the holy name. Because the Lord is fully manifest. Whenever the Lord is, the name is chanted, he is manifest. But we are not connected, that is the problem. We are disconnected. Any points? Okay. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, all glories unto you, you are glorified by all, and whose activities are all uncommon. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, O Lord of the Transcendentalist, Controller of the Three Modes of Nature. I offer my respectful obeisances to you again and again. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the all-pervading Lord Vishnu, who have entered the cores of the hearts of all living entities. All the three worlds reside within your navel, yet you are above the three worlds. Formerly you appeared as the son of Prishni. To you, the Supreme Creator, who are understood only through Vedic knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances. O my Lord, you are the beginning, the manifestation, and the ultimate dissolution of the three worlds, and you are celebrated in the Vedas as the reservoir of unlimited potencies. The Supreme Person, O my Lord, as waves attract branches and leaves, they have fallen into deep water. You, the Supreme, Eternal, Time Factor, attract everything in this universe.
The time factor is sometimes described as Kala Srota, waves of time. Everything in this material world is within the time factor and is being carried away by waves of attraction, which represent the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
So Kala Shakti is the force which controls everyone in the material world, and because of Kala Shakti we remain bound in the material world. As Prabhupada says here, the waves of attraction. So we all get attracted in this material world to different material forms and names, and because of that we stay bound within the time element. But to transcend the material time element, to transcend this material world, we have to become attracted to Krishna and attached to Krishna with a sakti. A sakti means attachment. When you're attached to Krishna, you can go back to the spiritual world. And final verse. My Lord, you are the original generator of all living entities, stationary or moving, and you are also the generator of the Prajapatis. O my Lord, as a boat is the only hope for a person drowning in the water, you are the only shelter for the demigods who are now bereft of their heavenly position. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.